WPRB HD3, Princeton.
Oldies 107.9, WOLD, New Jersey.
Welcome to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. Live every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Now here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Good morning and welcome to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells and I'm here with
Jordan.
And that was the Teaberry Shuffle. Jordan, you're too young. You don't remember that, do you?
No.
But it's fun, right?
Oh,
I'm
it
sitting
was
here
great.
Dancing
I'm
in my seat. The Teaberry Shuffle was part of an advertising campaign for Teaberry Gum a long time ago. But I still remember the song. Some things, that and the Good and Plenty song, stick with you. You know, some stick with you. But the reason it came back to mind was Jordan and I were at, where were we?
We were at Barlow's.
Barlow's, right. Which is a great garden center in... Mm-hmm.
It's in Seeger,
Seeger, yeah. And it's fun. And I think they have another location as well. But we were there. Of course, you just have to go and look around. I bought something. I always buy something. But the thing was that they had tea berries there. Now, they're not really known as tea berries in the garden. I mean, I guess maybe some places. But they, the plant is native to New Jersey, and it's called wintergreen. And it makes bright red berries, very round red berries,
mm-hmm.
That are really red. And they have the taste of wintergreen. And it makes a really good ground cover, if for shade.
Right.
And they're hard to find. I have, at different times, considered planting them. And when I wanted to find them, I could never find them. And here they were. They had, like, a whole table full of these. And I got so excited. I'm like, wow, look, there they are. And they're kind of pricey.
Yeah.
And the reason is they're kind of slow growing. And it takes a while to produce the fruits. But they are known as tea berry. They're known as winter green. They're known as winter berry. They have a few different names. But they're very shade tolerant. And that's the thing that makes me very excited. And that they are currently actually available to purchase locally is kind of exciting in the gardening world.
You could say that. You could say a little more than kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was exciting. Ground covers are such a great thing, and ground covers for shade are, kind of sometimes really boring.
Right.
You know?
There's the Pachysandra.
I really do not like Pachysandra. I really don't. I don't hate it. It's not evil or anything, but I guess we were not big gardeners growing up. My grandfather was, but at my house... no one ever gardened, and there was just Pachysandra everywhere. It was just stuck everywhere, and it was everywhere, so I kind of ignored it, didn't really pay much attention to it, but it just became one of those things like too much, too much, too much, and so now it's just really unappealing to me. And so there's the big three. There's Pachysandra,
mm-hmm.
boring. English ivy, boring. Actually, English ivy is almost evil.
Once again, you could say more than almost. Taking out so much English ivy is, I can't tell you how many jobs I've done where I've had to go dig at those roots and just pull them out one by one. It's so tedious, and it just spreads so fast and everywhere.
Well, we have at Tiny Farm a a cinder block wall that's kind of ugly. And there's a little bed above the wall because the wall holds up the parking lot next door. And there's bed and there's English ivy in it. And it grows over the cinder block wall and kind of camouflages the cinder block wall, which is kind of good. Except I put a row of bricks, of old bricks that we dug up that I sometimes use for projects. I can't find the bricks.
It ate the bricks.
It ate the bricks. It ate the whole pile of bricks. You can't see the bricks. You have to dig through the ivy to get to the bricks. And it's not really that attractive. It's better than the cinder block wall. I'll give it that. It's better than this. Not a great beauty. And then the last one is actually my favorite, and I like this one, and that's vinca or myrtle or periwinkle. It's all the same thing, which is also a little confusing. But at least that gets pretty flowers.
Yeah.
And the leaves are real shiny. And I like that. Of the three, of the big three, I like that one the best, for
Agreed.
Sure. But they're all kind of boring. So this wintergreen, which is now available and gets the red berries, is kind of exciting as an alternative in a very shade-tolerant world. So that's great. Now, I want to talk about tea berry ice cream. Have you ever had tea berry ice cream?
No.
It's hot pink.
I saw a picture. It is a shocking color.
Yeah, obviously, it must be made from the berries.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had it, but it is supposedly a hot item in Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
And I can say also that the plants, and the botanical name is Gaultheria, is also native to Pennsylvania. And so I guess somebody started making ice cream out of it. I would think, I mean, it has kind of a minty flavor. Wintergreen is sort of minty. But the fact that it is native and you can make really cool ice cream out of it, and it inspired the Tea Berry Shuffle, which, you know, all I have to do is hear that music and my feet start going. It's just, it's one of those songs that just, you know, gets you moving. So we were happy to be able to find that. But if you're looking for this plant, or if you're looking for an alternative ground cover plant, this is a great choice. And now, as of this year, first time I've ever seen it for sale locally. So that's a good choice. All right, I should give the phone number here. It's 908-448-0951. And before we take our call, because we're going to take Anne-Marie in just a second, I did want to say that I really love garden centers that have weird things. And
me
the fact
too.
That, what was it, Barlow's?
Barlow's.
Barlow's had this weird one. But I do want to give a shout out to Barty Farms, because they were our sponsor forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been there just the one time years ago. It's up in Warren, and I was there one time, and I got my Tibochina from them. And I got a couple of other things at the time, but the place was really fun, and they had a lot of weird stuff. And I'm sorry that they're kind of not 100% in our range, so they're not with us at this moment. But if anybody goes to Barty Farms that happens to be listening to the show, please thank them. And say, you know, we enjoyed having them on the air all this time, and they were a great sponsor, and they have a great place, and I don't want them to think that we didn't appreciate it. So we will go to the phones now, and we're going to say good morning to Anne-Marie. Hey, Anne-Marie.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling to defend Pacassandra. I know it's not your favorite. Now I know why you're bored with it. But I want to say it is lovely. It blooms a white flower, so it's a flower. That's a good thing. And it's lovely if you snip a branch and put it in with bouquets of other flowers. And it minds its own business and takes care of itself and spreads. And if you don't like it where it is, you pull that piece out, and the rest of it is great. And it's even good in the fall. The leaves can't really get under it very well. So you can kind of blow them off. You don't have to rake them. So it's a winner.
Does it make you happy, Emery?
Does.
Okay.
It does.
Well,
I have fond memories of my first patch that I lost back in the day when fire became my home ground. And now I have all new, so it's beautiful.
That's one of the things about gardening, is if it makes you happy, then it's a great thing. It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me happy. I look at it and go, oh, that? Oh, yeah.
Listen, you like dandelions, so you know.
I know. I love dandelions.
You and I.
I love dandelions. Dandelions make me happy. I mean, I have wonderful childhood memories of blowing the little poofy things right. all over the place and planting, obviously, many more dandelions. And I like dandelions. Dandelions are happy. I don't see.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of see Pacassandra as like a gray three-piece suit. You know, kind of, you know, classy.
Other listeners, pay full attention to her on this. Give it a try.
Kind of, you know, classy, neutral, reliable, goes with everything, but, you know, boring.
Hey, some of dependable. Some of us like dependable.
Dependable, okay. Dependable is a good thing. And again, everybody has to make their world in a way that makes them happy. And if Pacassandra makes you happy, then you should plant all the Pacassandra you can if it makes you happy. But I will never plant Pacassandra. I will never plant Pacassandra. So, but I totally understand and I appreciate your point of view. And it and everything you said is absolutely true. But it won't be at my house. It won't be a tiny farm.
Well, I may bring some to the plant swap in case somebody wants my side of the drawing the line in the sand this
okay.
morning.
Okay, all right, you're drawing a line in the sand, and drawing a line in the Pacassandra. Okay, by all means, and I'm glad you brought up the plant swap, because the plant exchange, we did have to change the date. It is now May 27th, and I wasn't going to change the date. I was going to not go to this very important family wedding, because I had announced on the air that it was going to be the 20th, and I had no way of letting people know that it wasn't going to be the 20th. So I was very, very hesitant to change it. But we are on the air.
I know. So now we can announce.
So now we can announce. So it is now the 27th. And same old, same old. Bring your plants. Bring pots. Bring vases. Bring seedlings. Bring tools. Bring
little crafts.
And garden gnomes, if you have a garden gnome that needs a home. Anything that can be used in the garden. And if you're bringing a lot of stuff, bring a table. And I do want to talk about food. Do you remember what happened last year, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, it was like Viennese table.
We had
we had dessert coming out of our ears.
I was headed towards a sugar coma. There was so much. And it was, some of it was fabulous. And then, of course, the best / worst thing that came was this round plastic tub, clear plastic tub, with a lid and a label, and it said lemon bites. And I had never seen them. And they looked like, you know, it was something prepared that you buy, like Entenmann's or something like that, not homemade. And so it wasn't one of the first things that we ate. And then I made the mistake of opening the package. I became instantly addicted to lemon bites. You know how the Lay's commercial, you can only eat one, you can't eat just one potato chip? I could not eat just one lemon bite. They were unbelievably good and moist and lemony and sweet. And anyway, I think I ate the whole thing. Not in one sitting, but I think I did eat the whole thing. And they were so good. So whoever got those lemon bites, if they want to bring them again, I think that'd be good. That would be good, right?
That would be a great thing.
That would be a good thing.
Playing favorites.
So, but I also, I did an email that went an email that went out to the Women's Club, and I will put this also on my next blog post for the Garden Show, that we really need some other things other than just sweets. So watermelon wedges or little bunches of grapes or apple slices or those little hot dogs wrapped in dough or whatever you call that. I don't want to call them what everybody else calls them. I hate that name. It's a horrible name. I would never even want to eat them when they're called that. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Not good, but those. And anything else that you can come up with. Popcorn even, but ooh, something, you know, cheese cubes would be good. But not, if everybody could not bring just dessert, that'd be good, because we had
a lot of dessert.
We had like an entire 6-foot table covered in sweet things, and I think there was even more than that. It was a lot. So
there was a lot.
Yeah. Anything you want to add about the plant exchange, Anne-Marie?
No, but it's great fun, and don't let the weather deter you, because we can have fun wherever and wherever the weather wants to be. We'll just ignore the weather and be fun.
We'll have a good time. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely have a good time. All right.
You won't have to water your plant when you get home anyway.
Well, it did rain 2 years in a row, and we moved it back a week, and now we moved it back another week. So I'm hoping we'll be into more of the warmer summer weather and miss that rainy season. But I don't understand. It's supposed to be April showers bring May flowers, and then all it did was rain 2 years in a row in May, and I didn't see any more flowers as a result. So I think...
Weather is crazy. March went out like a lion, except it did it on April 1st. So, yeah, so. You know, go figure.
Yeah. Did you get any of that storm last night?
Just the thunder and the lightning, not much rain. The lightning was bizarre. It mm-hmm. was actually horizontal.
Wow.
It was so weird, you know, wrapping, you know, we back up to the brook. So through the trees, it was... It was almost like strobe lighting. It was crazy.
We got a little hail.
Yeah, that's what that was?
Yeah, we got a little hail pounding on the car. All right. I was not in the greenhouse. I was afraid to go in the greenhouse. No, that can be scary. So,
well, yeah. They were warning everybody, freehold and out, to get into the center of your house in the most secure space.
I was on the couch with two dogs. That was pretty secure. Give Uncle Art a hug for me, and we will talk soon.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling. Bye-bye now. Okay, we are planning on going to...
Branch Brook Park?
Yes. We were going to go this last week, and that didn't work out. Tommy came home, and he was sick, and I didn't think it was a good idea to go out, and blah, 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 all that stuff. So we ended up not going. But the Cherry Blossom Festival, the official Cherry Blossom Festival, starts... Yesterday.
Yesterday.
It started yesterday. It runs the 6th through the 16th. So, and they have all kinds of events. Now, Branch Brook Park is in Newark, and part of the park goes into Belleville. And it's they have over 5,000 cherry trees. They have the most cherry trees in North America. And they have 18 different kinds of cherry trees. And one of the advantages of having 18 different kinds of cherry trees is it staggers the bloom, so that you have something in bloom during the whole period of time. A big storm like last night can do a lot of damage. It can really make the blossoms fall off in a kind of storm like that. But not everything was in full bloom, so there should be plenty to see, which is nice. And we're going to try to pick one day this week, and we're going to head up there and maybe take some pictures and walk around and find something to eat and have cherry blossoms fall on us, and it'll be a good day. But it is a spectacular sight to see, and it really is lovely. And Newark needs all the lovely things it can get, so we will, you know, that's definitely one of the high points. But in addition to cherry blossoms, there are a lot of other things blooming. What are some of the things we noticed today?
The Bradford pears.
Yeah, they're blooming.
Mm-hmm.
You hate Bradford pears.
I dislike them strongly.
Well, now we're on the radio, so you're being diplomatic. But in the car on the way up here...
Yeah, I was not so kind.
No, you were not so kind. Bradford pears are a kind of calorie pear. They're a variety of calorie pear, which is an ornamental pear. And yes, they do make pears, but they're not really edible. They're kind of goofy looking, and they just kind of dangle on there. And 25, 30 years ago, they were touted as the perfect street tree. They were developed. They have nice, narrow tops, so you could plant them along the street, and they don't get tangled in the wires, and they were considered a great street tree. And then they grew. And continued to grow.
Yep.
And that became the biggest problem. But you have another problem with them.
They smell horrible. They smell so bad. I was, my husband and I were taking a walk yesterday when it was clear outside and beautiful for those 3 hours. And all the Bradford pears in our town are in bloom right now. And I was like, Phil, do you smell that? And he was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, okay, come here. And I grabbed him and we walked over underneath this huge Bradford pear tree. And I was like, okay, take a sniff. What do you smell? And he was like, oh, you're right. It smells like rotting fish.
I personally have never noticed that, but I have not ever actually gone under one and taken a big whiff either. But I will do it next time I see a Bradford pear. But aside from that, what started out as being a positive trait turned out to be deadly. And the very narrow tops, which keep them away from being a problem in the street and away, and limits their ability to tangle up the wires that are overhead, also became their downfall. Because narrow crotch angles are weak, and they're very weak. You need to have just the right kind of angle, a little bit spread, not too narrow, not too far out, to give it the most strength. Mm-hmm. And they have very narrow crotch angles, which makes for very narrow tops of the plants. And you can have a storm come through and the centers of the branches snap out and they become giant divining rods with a straight trunk and just the outside branches and everything in the middle falls out. And it happens just as they are approaching magnificence, just as they are getting, say, 15 to 20 feet tall and full and beautiful, and you'll get a storm coming through. I was in the town of Hightstown after a storm once, and their whole main street in town had been lined with Bradford pears. Ooh. And we came, and I came through right after a storm, and they were all snapped off, laying down in the street, dangling, and it, they took them all down. They took every single one down because they were completely devastated by the storm. And
yeah.
And just as they get really gorgeous and stunning is when they become vulnerable to falling apart.
Yep.
So not a great choice. And the flowers are pretty, but, you know, they're not that pretty. I mean, they're not, I don't think they compete well with a flowering cherry, for example.
Right.
You know, they don't. They're nowhere near as nice as a flowering cherry. But you came up with another reason to not like them. You really don't like them.
You make
it
seem like I'm just inventing reasons to like Bradford pears. Yeah, well, they're also considered invasive in certain U.S. states, and some states have even banned them or are in the process of banning them. So Ohio is supposed to ban them in 2024, and I think a couple other states are following closely behind. They're considered invasive in Arkansas. I think South Carolina is going to ban them if they haven't already. Yeah.
See, I was not aware of that. I've never really noticed them coming up as volunteers. You said there's a spot where there's like a circle in the middle of a road that's full of them, and maybe they did drop the fruits and they did come up. I've never heard of that. But there's a lot of things that are fairly common that are considered now to be invasive, and you do have to watch out for that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of reasons to not be happy with the Bradford Cowrie pear. And it's so funny because back in the day when I was a county agent, they were the tree. They were the one to plant. They were the one that was hot off the press, ready to go, beautiful trees, and now they're the exact opposite. So I don't recommend them. And I'll have to sniff one, though, because that would be...
Okay, just prepare yourself mentally, please.
I will prepare myself for that. Okay, but there are other things blooming as well, some things that are not stinky. So, come on, the forsythias are amazing right now. They are in their glory.
Right.
And they deserve some recognition. They are happy, and they are easy, and they are reliable, for the most part. They do need pruning that really maintains their shape. And that's one of the things that people don't really do.
Correct.
And the worst thing you can do, and I've seen this so many times, is take an electric hedge pruner and shear them and turn them into meatballs and hockey pucks. And they are so unattractive. And that takes off all the new healthy growth and leaves you with the old woody growth that is just sparse and doesn't make a lot of flowers. And that basically ruins them. So what you want to do with forsythias, and you can do it now while they're in bloom if you like, or you can wait till they just finish blooming. But either time is great. one of the nice things about doing it while they're in bloom is you take 6, 8, 10 branches and stick them in a vase, yeah. and you have a dramatic display. And they'll,
gorgeous.
They'll stay attractive for a while. And I have even seen them root.
Ooh.
And just take a branch and flowers and leave it in there. And I have seen them root. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen on occasion. But one of the things that's really important is you need to go down into the center of the plant and take out the branches at the base,
mm-hmm.
and get out some of that old woody stuff and open it up in the center to get new shoots coming up that will then, it's the intermediate in age branches that are going to give you the best flowers. The real young ones aren't going to flower right that much, and of course the old woody ones aren't going to flower, so you need to remove those and keep it open and take some of the longest branches all the way into the center at the base and pull them out, because if you cut all the branches you lose that graceful arching
right.
shape that blows in the wind ever so slightly and just is has grace. When you take a hedge pruner and shear them, basically you're cutting off all the grace,
mm-hmm.
and turning it into something really stumpy looking.
Yeah.
So now's the time to pay attention to this, because you don't want all the new growth to come out and then do it, because then you'll be cutting off even more of the new growth. And the plant worked really hard. It only has so much money in the bank. And if it spends all the money on new growth, and then you cut off all the new growth, it doesn't have any money in the bank or energy reserve. It doesn't have as much energy reserve left to put out more new growth. Because that's the most difficult part in the plant's life cycle, is to push out all that stuff in the spring. It needs a lot of energy in order to do that. And if you let it do that and then you cut it all off, you don't get a return on your investment.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to pay some attention. If you have some overgrown forsythias, get out there with a pair of long-handled loppers and a pair of gloves and get into the center. And if you do a little bit every year, it becomes not overwhelming. If you wait till the thing is a monster, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
And rather than shear it, okay, this is almost violent, almost. Rather than shear it, I'd cut it all the way back. And then after you cut it way, way back, then you've got all these stumps, and then you can go in and cut out a bunch of the stumps and then let it resprout, but from way, way far back. That is another approach. And you would fertilize it also to give it
okay.
a little
Okay, and they do respond well to that?
They will come back from that.
All right, and you said all the way back. Do you mean like all the way or like a third?
Oh, no, I mean way back.
Okay.
There's not a lot of things you can cut way back like that, but
right.
Forsythia will regenerate. Privet will do that too, will regenerate if privet gets out of control. Do you know if you prune privet carefully and not shear it, even though it's a hedge and people mm-hmm. shear it all the time,
right?
It makes beautiful white flowers that look like lilacs. Yep, and have a wonderful scent.
Aww.
In fact, lilacs are often grafted onto a rootstock of privet.
Interesting.
Because privet's so much stronger than many of the lilacs. And so
you
that,
know what? I bet that's what's happening in my parents' yard, because they have lilac trees that just sucker endlessly.
Yeah, they might be privet.
Yeah.
So if they're coming up from the roots. But yeah, that's one of the things that happens. But
mm-hmm.
really, your best bet is to do a little bit every year and to maintain the shape and take the longest branches all the way in the center and leave some of the branches untouched. And that way you maintain the growth habit and the well-being, the health of the plant.
Amen.
Okay, so I have a few. Oh, I want to say that my forsythia are blooming in my hedge. That is one of my favorite things because it's a tricolor hedge.
Mm-hmm.
First the forsythia bloom, then the spirea bloom, then the weigelia bloom. So it blooms three times. First yellow, then white, then red.
Beautiful.
It's a fun thing. All right. So Trivent is a proud sponsor of 95.1 WOLD and the all-new Garden Show with me, Peggy Ballester-Howells. Trivent believes money is a tool, not a goal, financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. That's a mouthful. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent, that's thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. And that's Nichols. Okay, that is a lot. And I've tried to make things simpler by putting on my webpage, peggygarden.com, yes, which is a whole lot easier to remember. And I've listed all the sponsors. And so you can go to the page and you can click on the post that says sponsors. And if there's any of the sponsors that you want to get a hold of, mm-hmm, and you don't feel like writing it down while you're listening to me because you're enjoying a cheese Danish and a cup of coffee, you can just go to the website and all of that contact information is there. Okay? Does that work? Is that good?
That's great.
Is that good for you?
Awesome.
Good for me.
This is the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Family-owned Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping offers its customers the services and merchandise for all your gardening and lawn care needs this spring. In business since 1980, Mike's Country Market offers seeds, trees, and everything in between. They are experts in the world of landscaping services, hardscaping, as well as delivering topsoil or mulch right to your home. Shopping hungry? Order a sandwich in the award-winning attached deli. Visit the country. Mike's Country Market is located at 200 Riva Avenue, right off of Milltown Road, on the East Brunswick-Milltown border. Their number is 732-821-7144. That's Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping, 732-821-7144. Mike's Country Market is a proud founding sponsor of the All-New Garden Show on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
As lovers of gardening, we sometimes think that others are just like us, the salt of the earth, always amenable to helping our fellow members of the human family. Regrettably, there will always be those who prey on the naivete of homeowners who think that nothing bad will ever happen in their neighborhood. Those days are over, and our friends at Elite Surveillance are here to make sure that if anyone ever tries to mess with you, they will regret it. Call 732-702-2434 to receive a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment, your home, your property, and your beautiful garden. Andrew and his Elite Surveillance crew are the folks to trust when it comes to top-notch professional installation of a surveillance system that will keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day. Call Elite Surveillance at 732-702-2434 or visit EliteSurveillanceNJ.com to learn more. And be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive a 10% discount on your same-day installation.
WOLD! Now, back to more of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells. I'm here with
Jordan.
And next week is Easter. Isn't next week Easter?
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's coming up fast. It's coming up fast. And I'm happy to report that the eggs are coming in like crazy. The chickens are back on it. They are done with their, like, kind of slowed down vacation winter. And, of course, we get multicolored eggs.
Mm-hmm.
We get all different color eggs. And you can dye them, and they come out even more weird colors than if you just start out with white eggs. But you can have them, and you don't have to dye them at all because
right.
they come kind of the white ones and then kind of pink ones and green ones and blue ones and light brown ones and medium
speckled.
Brown ones and speckled ones and dark brown ones.
And all different shapes and sizes.
Oh, yeah, those really mm-hmm. big ones. I feel bad for my chickens
yeah.
when I see those really big ones. I'm like, oh, that one must hurt. Oh, poor baby girl. But the chickens are doing well. Sid Woolley came.
Mm-hmm.
You know Sid Woolley,
right? Of course, he's a magic man.
Sid Woolley does all kinds of things for me that I can't do myself, and he helps me with things. And we had a chicken get caught. Thank God Jordan was there that day.
That was a scary day.
It was a scary day. It was Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sweet chicken. She's a really, really sweet chicken. Chickens have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
I know people find that hard to believe, but they do have different personalities. And she's very sweet. And, of course, she gets pecked by some of the other chickens because she's so docile. But she has a really nice personality. And she comes up to me whenever I go out there. And you can pick her up and hug her and pet her. But somebody must have been trying to peck her because she was in the nests, and the nests are metal nests, and there's six nests, and it's in one whole unit, and it's attached to the inside of the chicken coop, which is part of the barn. And it's attached to the studs, which means there's a space between the studs.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the nest, and she was trying to get away from somebody, and she went behind the nest and got stuck between the studs. She couldn't move. One wing was in the nest, and one wing was up, straight up in the air, and she was really stuck. And it was a good thing that we went out there, and we had to take the nests off the wall partially so that there was room to maneuver to get her out. So I was very upset. And
mm-hmm.
thank goodness Jordan was there, because this was not a one-person job.
No, it was
job.
Not. Someone had to hold down the nest. You were, like, loosening the screw so we could just get 1 inch to just pull it out a little bit and get in there and pull
out
the chicken.
And put a hand under her. Yeah,
yeah.
It was just, it was a frightening 15, 20 minutes
yeah.
of trying to figure out how to help her. And so Sid Woolley came, and we took the nests down, and Sid Woolley cut a piece of plywood, so put the plywood behind, so now there's not the void between the studs. So greatly relieved. And in between time, we took a whole bunch of egg cartons and shoved them in the spaces so she couldn't get
right.
stuck back there again. It was totally kludgy, but you know, we were trying to take care of her. And she's been doing well, and
mm-hmm.
she hasn't gotten stuck anymore. And we were out there, and we've been getting like 10 eggs a day now.
Yeah.
We're up to quite a few eggs, and so we will have plenty of multicolored eggs for Easter. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. In the garden yesterday, I went out and I stuck my head out there, and I was like, are there any peas? I didn't see any peas. And then I look closer, and those peas are coming up. Those peas, they are doing their thing. They are poking through. Little tiny green noses are coming through, and I'm very excited. Peas are my favorite thing
mm-hmm.
to grow in the garden. Absolutely favorite thing. I used to have a dog that would go into the garden and harvest peas and eat them.
Which one?
Zinny. She harvested peas and raspberries. She oh, and
she
blueberries.
Has good taste.
She had yes, she had good taste. She knew how to, and she was thank goodness she was little, so she was really small, so
she
couldn't
get
up. She couldn't get yeah, she couldn't get too far up. But the peas are, and they have such beautiful flowers and the foliage.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just really attractive plants,
mm-hmm.
and then they make peas. And Sean is here. He's listening, and he's our button manager, as we discussed last week. I will promise Sean I will bring you a peas and cheese sandwich. Now this is famous,
mm-hmm.
And it started when my kids were little, and I had to make them lunch, and there wasn't a lot to eat, but we had tons of peas. So an English muffin. With two slices of your favorite cheese, although in this case I really like American cheese. It's not my favorite cheese for other things, but I like American cheese. And then you squeeze on as many peas in the pods, the edible potted ones. You get as many on there as you can. And then on the other half of the English muffin, you put mayonnaise and you use Jane's Crazy Mixed Up Salt. Now, the trick is you've got to really squish it or the peas go flying right out the back end. But peas and cheese, there's something about the combination that is really spectacular, and they are the best when the peas have just been fresh picked. And there's only a very limited window of time when you can do this, because peas don't hang around a long time.
Right.
Official pea planting day is
March 17th.
And we got our peas in on March 17th, which was good, but they don't like heat. So as soon as the weather turns hot, the plants turn yellow and they're done. You can sometimes get a fall crop. Timing is tricky, but you have to plant like in July, and you can get a fall crop once in a while if you're lucky. But my garden is usually so full with all the tomatoes and all the other things that are in there to take a large enough area to grow peas for a second crop is not practical for me. But you can do that. But so that little window of time when you can have peas and cheese sandwiches is very special, and so I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really excited about it. And of course the peas, they freeze really well.
Yeah.
So of course you want to eat them fresh, but if you have a lot of them, more than can be accommodated by peas and cheese sandwiches, you can easily freeze them and eat them, you know, later on in the year, which is always good. So the peas are up. They are poking through, which is very exciting. And this week we got in
potatoes.
We got in the potatoes.
Huge deal.
That was, yeah, the potatoes were a challenge. And the ground where the veggie garden is, and I'm not sure exactly what the problem is with the ground there. There used to be a patio there, so I don't know if some of the sand is as a result of the sand underneath the brick patio. But when you go down, we hit something that's rock hard. It's like compacted sand that's full of rocks and really hard to dig. And the top, where we've been planting and working the soil for the top, say, 12 inches?
Yeah.
Is really good. But when you get below that, you hit this horrible stuff. And potatoes are a root crop, which means the roots are where the potatoes are going to grow and are going to expand. And if there's rocks, you get really weird potatoes, really bumpy looking. So we tried to double dig that bed, and we got an entire bucket, one of those big plant buckets, plant pots that we filled with rocks. And some of them were quite large. And if you go to my website, peggygarden.com, you can see the picture of the rock next to the potato. And kind of hard to tell which is which.
Yeah, they look like long-lost twins, maybe separated by 500 years. Yeah. One got petrified, the other is fresh.
Yeah, something like that. That's what they look like. And there was a lot of them. So we decided to go with what I already had. I did not get any new potatoes. We have been planting Yukon Gold potatoes, which is a yellow potato, for those of you who are not familiar. And they're kind of readily available in the markets these days. They weren't always, but now they are. First thing you do when you buy potatoes is take them out of the plastic bag, please. That's like the worst thing in the world, plastic bags. I know what this is. We're going to go to Piscataway and say good morning to Bob. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, Jordan, how are you guys doing?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Should be a great week to work in the garden this week.
Yeah, I'm excited to get back out there. I may not rototill my whole garden this year. I may just spot dig where I'm going to put plants in, hoping that it'll keep the weeds down. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I think that is a good idea. If you create paths between the beds and keep it a little bit more compact, that is helpful.
Yeah, I already have a leaf mat down there from the fall when I was mowing over them and bagging them and throwing them in there. So I figured this year, why stir it up if it's going to already have a bed of leaves down there? And I have other things I can put on top of it. And it'll save me the work of rototilling, you know, a couple of gardens. So we're going to give that a try, I think.
And are your peas up yet, Bob?
No, they did. I got mine in 4 days after yours. They still haven't come up. I go out there every day and check. Nothing yet, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. The reason for my call is my seed trays. I started my seedlings yesterday. The domes, you know, they're on heat mats. They have domes. Mm-hmm. The domes have a lot of moisture inside of them. I guess that's okay until the sprouts come up. Or is there such a thing as too much moisture and I should tap them dry every couple hours or, you know, once a day?
I would tap them dry. You can get mildew or mold right on the top of the soil if it stays too moist. I would not let that happen.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that after I hang up.
Okay.
Get it up there and do that. Yeah. Or after the show.
All right. But could, I know that you've had them, so could you please comment on the peas and cheese sandwiches?
I liked them a lot. The first year, I didn't have them on English muffins. Yeah, it didn't work out so good. But last year, we went out and bought all the supplies we needed. We had the American cheese, and we had the you know, the peas, of course, and English muffins. And I was really surprised how much I liked them. I think the thing that I really liked about them was the snap, you know, to the sandwich between the toasted muffin and
absolutely.
The peas.
Absolutely.
There's a really nice crunch, and they're good. They're really good. I look forward to having them again, so it's kind of neat. I'm happy you introduced us to that. Thank you.
Oh, well, our pleasure for sure. All right, Bob, anything else I can do for you today?
No, that's it. Thank you so very much.
All right, give
Thank
Nancy
you for
a
taking
hug,
my call.
And we'll talk to you
Will
soon.
Do.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay,
all
bye.
Right. So, your home, and my home, for sure, is your greatest investment. When it comes time to attend to your most pressing concerns, call Rest Assured Restored at 732-781-8857. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about exterior, interior painting, power washing. Power washing in the spring is big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really important. It makes a big difference on how your house looks. An unpower washed house compared to a power washed house looks like a completely different critter.
Oh, yeah.
Completely different. So that, or cleaning out your garage, your attic. Oh, I could do some of that. I still have stuff in boxes in the basement from the fire that I'm afraid to look at. Just call Rest Assured, and you found the help that you need, which is great. They can even help with things like water or mold damage. Any home improvement that you might be thinking about tackling this spring, and spring is a great time to do it, you can call Kelly for a free estimate. And his number, again, is 732-781-8857. And you can find out more about the company at restassuredrestored.com. And if you mention that you heard about their company and you talked to Kelly and you heard about it on the All New Garden Show, you'll get a 10% discount on all the services that they provide. Okay, Rest Assured Restored is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show on 95-1. WOLD-home of the New Jersey's greatest hits. Now, I want to tell people again that all that is complicated, and you can go to the website, peggygarden.com, and all of that information is on one of my posts, and so you can go check it out and get Kelly's number there and give them a call if you need some help.
Right? Great idea. All in one place.
More of the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIgarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Mobile One, Lube Express of Edison, a family-owned and operated business serving Central Jersey for more than a decade. From oil changes to wipers, bulbs to maintenance services, they have it covered. And all new car warranties are covered too. No sales, no quotas, no commissions, just honest, quick lube service. Even better, you can now skip the lines and stop in for your New Jersey motor vehicle inspection, as Mobile One Lube Express is now a state-certified emissions test facility. Mobile One Lube Express, 758 Route 1 North in Edison, across from ShopRite. 732-253-8100. And at Mobile One Lube Express in Edison, their philosophy is, life is complicated enough, you take care of your family and job, and they will make sure you get there. Mobile One Lube Express of Edison is a proud sponsor of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD.
It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he's your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. Be sure to mention the all-new Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist. 917-807-3901.
You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
I'm Peggy Ballister Howells, and I'm here with...
Jordan.
And we should give the phone number again. It's 908-448-0951. Do you like how they did that sneaky thing? I think it's really cute.
It's cute. It helps you remember, too.
That the 95-1 is the number on the dial.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple other things, though, that we should really talk about, because you can listen to the show a variety of different ways.
Right.
Just on the FM dial is, like, the easiest way. But you can also... There's a magic phone number.
Mm-hmm.
I think the magic phone number is the coolest thing.
It is. It's really cool.
Because it kind of incorporates... modern technology
with
old reliable landline phones.
Right.
And so it's kind of cool. But you just dial this number. It's 518-737-0158. And you can listen on your phone. So you can put it on speaker or if you have like a landline and there's a speaker on the box, you could put that on. And you could just listen wherever you are.
Right.
Easily with phone number. You don't have to have internet connection. You don't have to have Wi-Fi. You can just listen on your phone, which I think is kind of neat. So there's no reason why you can't listen to the Garden Show.
Correct.
If you want
there's
to listen
no
to
excuse.
The no excuse. So, Jordan, we did a couple of other things in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We got the spinach in.
We did, and a little lettuce.
And some lettuce. And we have a lettuce bowl, too, that's already germinated, that's doing pretty well. But I'm really mad at myself.
Why?
I forgot the arugula. Now, I thought I had bought arugula seed, and we checked there was no arugula seed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to get some arugula seed, because you can't not have arugula. If you're trying to have, like, a nice salad, and you need to have the arugula.
Right.
The spinach and the lettuce and the mixed lettuces are all good, but it's the arugula that gives it that little peppery. Yeah, that little
kick. I love arugula.
Yeah, it's so good. And you don't need a lot of it. And you can even just have a whole arugula salad, but that's pretty intense. But a little arugula goes a long way, and... it's so easy to grow, and I just stupidly forgot to buy arugula seed.
I don't think it's easy. You had a lot going on.
Yeah, well,
let's just start there.
Okay, all right. Well, there has been a lot going on. That's true. But I don't want to miss the good stuff, and that's arugula. We got onions in.
Mm-hmm.
We did, again, we double dug those beds because onions are also a root crop. But we got one small bed of
red onions.
And another small bed of, like, the yellow onions. Mm-hmm. So the onions should be coming up. So I'm looking forward to having all of that come up. We didn't do radishes, though. We bought radishes, but we should get them in the ground.
Yeah, and you have those, the wasabi radishes, too, the free seed from
Baker. Yeah, I definitely want to try them. So there are plenty of things that can be going on in the garden now. And, Sid Woolley, I mentioned, he helped the chickens out. But he also, I have these two square beds that that's last year was where the popcorn plants were. Now, remember, these are not popcorn plants that grow popcorn that you eat. They are the popcorn plants that when you walk by them, they smell like buttered popcorn. And they make you hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go inside and make buttered popcorn. Because they smell really like buttered popcorn.
They do. Even 6 feet away, if the wind is blowing the right way, you're like, who's making popcorn in here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't like to plant the same thing in the beds, you know, year after year, recycle even. So the popcorn plants this year are going to go someplace else. I haven't figured out where, but they're going to go someplace else. But I had Sid Woolley raise up those beds. They are square beds. They're not really big. They're maybe like 2 feet by 2 feet, something like that. About 2 feet by 2 feet. And they're perfect to make a focal point in the garden. So this year I want to put poppies in there. And you can grow annual poppies from seed. And I'm looking forward to that because he just raised the bed. I'm going to fill it with compost. So now it's going to be three railroad ties high. And it becomes the perfect place to
sit down.
Yes,
I know.
Place to sit and admire everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then the poppies can grow from seed, and they are very cold tolerant, so they can go in the ground now.
Awesome.
We're going to go to South River now and say good morning to Barry. Hey, Barry.
Really?
Barry.
Yes.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, ladies. I'm doing fine, and you?
We're doing quite well, thank you. It's a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. What are you working on outside?
Well, I'm starting my garden for my tomatoes and my sunflowers and a variety of other plants. The reason I'm calling, well, first of all, I want to say it was a pleasure to meet the two of you.
Thank you.
Yes, we met at Mike's Country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Country Market.
Yes, we did.
It's a fun place. It really is.
Yep, and I'm going back there for some other odds and ends that I need. But my question is, I'm looking for flowers that I can plant now that'll last this time through early spring. It's for a cemetery plot. It's 100% sun all the time. So I'm just looking for something I can plant for now until it starts to get warmer, because the last time I talked to you about this, you recommended portulacas.
Yes, that's a summer plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they did real well in the heat and everything.
You want to do pansies.
Pansies?
Yes. Pansies, you can cover that whole bed with pansies, and they will hold up until the weather gets hot, and it would be perfect for you to swap them out with the portulaca afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really good spring into summer kind of combination.
Oh, that's very good.
So that'll work for you. And pansies are so happy. They smile.
Oh, yes, they are.
You look at them and they smile back, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And they're readily available now. So, I will, this one little tip about pansies that I have found useful in the past is that if you have problems with squirrels, they will dig the little pansy plants out, but you can buy the ones in pots. They're a little bigger and they're a little bit more expensive, but you don't need as many of them, of course. And that the squirrels can't dig out the ones when they're like in a 6-inch pot. So if there's a problem in the cemetery, which is a place where squirrels could possibly wreak havoc, you could just put them in the 6-inch pot ones instead of the individual 6-packs, and they'll have a much better chance of staying in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. I will give that some thought, and it sounds like a good idea.
And they're beautiful. I love pansies.
I think they're so underrated.
They are. Oh, Barry, if you like the pansies, here's another pansy tip, is you can plant pansies in late September or October, and they'll be really pretty in the fall, and they will overwinter. They will come up in the spring.
Really?
Yes. That's the thing. Pansies are often, you know, thought of as kind of weakling kind of flowers and not hardy and not tough, but they're only not tough in the heat. They hate the heat and they give up. And so when people plant them at the same time as they're planting their begonias, they don't last because it's too hot. And so people think they're, you know, not sturdy, not hardy. You have to reverse it with pansies. They are very cold hardy. I have seen them bloom through the snow. They're so, they look really beautiful when they bloom through the snow. So if you plant them in September, October, they will overwinter and they will bloom earlier in the spring because they'll have an established root system. And they'll stay right up until the hot weather, and then you can swap them out for the portulaca.
Will the pansies be available in September, October?
Yes. Yes, and it's funny because they used to not be for a really long time, and I had one grower that grew them. It was Mel from Livingston Park Nursery over on Howe Lane, and he always grew them himself, and he always had them available. Now they're sold as what's called winter pansies, which is a totally marketing thing. They're all winter pansies. If you're a pansy, you're a winter pansy. So and now I see them in a lot more places. They're pretty much readily available. They've become more and more popular as time goes on. But they, you should be able to find them. And if you can get them in, then you get two seasons out of them instead of just the spring, and they will be more robust in the spring, and you'll get earlier flowers. And because the root system is well established, they will even hold up better under the heat. They will last longer because they have a better root system. So,
good.
All good reasons to plant them in the fall if you can.
Thank you very much.
Anything else I can do for you, Barry?
For now, that's all. I'm just going to continue listening and go out, and hopefully my neighbor's got his rototiller ready, and we're going to
go have some fun.
Yep.
You're going to play in the dirt. That's what you're going to do. You're going to go play in the dirt. I do that all the time.
Yes, well, I'm sure you do.
All right, well, you have a great day, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, that was fun.
It was. He's great.
Yeah, he is. He's a nice guy. And we, and I'm glad he got to talk to me about the pansies, because we hadn't even mentioned them.
Right.
And they are, like, one of the best early spring flowers, for sure. But that trick about planting them in late September or October is really true. They do so much better. Remember, we have talked about this in a variety of ways. In the fall, days keep getting
shorter,
and in the spring, days keep getting
longer,
and plants respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
When you fertilize your lawn, you use winter fertilizer that is lower in nitrogen and higher in phosphorus and potassium.
Interesting.
Because in the spring, you put high nitrogen, because nitrogen is important for making the leaves, the grass leaves. And in the fall, we need to fertilize the roots. So anything you plant in the fall has a better shot at developing a root system. So we're going to take a little break, but we will be back after this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.